experience something so unique, yeah. And so you're all as one, and it's really, it creates this excitement level that you can't plan.
But there are some where the audience has no clue.
That's
yes,
right.
That's true.
Right? And then you just smile and
that's
move
right.
on.
Well, most of them haven't read the show, or
right.
they haven't been
right.
at rehearsals. They
yeah.
don't know what we've planned for
right.
them. So.
Right, of course. Cool. It's pretty rare, Ken, that somebody in athletics also has an affinity for theater.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about?
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump says he is imposing more sanctions on Iran, telling reporters outside the White House this morning the sanctions will be hard-hitting so as to deny them access to financial instruments within U.S. jurisdictions. Meanwhile, an Iranian military official is talking to reporters there and warning that another U.S. drone could always be easily shot down by Iran.
The top admiral called last week's downing of an unmanned drone over the Straits of Hormuz, a crushing response.
I think it's really important for everyone to understand that the Iranians are out sowing disinformation in lots of places.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Saudi Arabia meeting with allies and reminds us,
it is very likely that Iran will continue to present things that are fanciful, that are fraudulent, that are false.
That report was filed by USA Radio's Tim Berg, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to health care sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
U.S. Senator and presidential hopeful Bernie Sanders leading progressive members of Congress in a new push to cancel all student debt. Sanders calling it long overdue.
Today we are, in fact, offering a revolutionary proposal, a proposal that will transform and improve our country in many, many ways.
Sanders saying the College for All Act would cancel about $1.6 trillion in student loan debt, while also making 2- and 4-year public colleges and universities essentially tuition-free. Critics say the plan would hamstring economic growth and would punish people who'd worked to avoid loans or pay them down early. Italy will host the 2026 Winter Olympic Games. Sweden and Italy were the finalists, the decision made a few hours ago. Italy has hosted the Winter Olympics twice, most recently in 2006. This is USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.
stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
An annual report on a global problem has been issued by the feds. And USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details from Washington.
The 2019 Trafficking in Persons report from the U.S. State Department is naming China, Iran.
We can set up an emergency shelter within a matter of hours. Mm-hmm. When you bring your cat, dog, or pet in, they are vet checked, they're fed, they're walked, for as long as need be, as long as the shelter is in place.
Now, immediately when you're describing this to me, there's a whole bunch of questions that I, as a strategy person, start to wonder. The first one is, where you happen to be in an emergency area.
And talked to Terry over there, the archivist, and he says, you know, it's really funny. We don't have many pictures at all from the Lindbergh kidnapping period. But just last week, somebody going in a flea market in New York State saw an entire packet of pictures from the Daily News photographs or photographers. Mm-hmm. And we just got them, and quite frankly, I haven't even looked at them. And I looked at, and there had to be about 50 or 60 there. Anyway, this kept going on and on like this. We got pictures at a Hopewell Museum, Hopewell Township, Princeton, private collections in New York City. It ended up that we found over 1,000 pictures that had never been seen. And under the format of Arcadia, the next problem we had was you only could use a little over 200.
Right.
So we had to go through and pick and choose not only the best pictures, but the ones that would tell the story in a chronological fashion.
Wow.
So we would decide on what the chapter was going. Well, it was a chronology chapter, so it wasn't that hard to figure out what came next. But
right.
We would lay maybe 100 pictures out on a table and then pick out the ones that told the story the best and then start writing the captions in the pictures. So, you know, from the standpoint of all the books written on the kidnapping and trial, this is the only one that has ever been done as a pictorial history. So,
now, are you staying true to the actual story and the case itself?
Right,
or do you start to bring up and constantly review the vagueness of it?
Are going just as the story developed, and, you know, from the... Well, the first chapter of the book is about Lindbergh and how popular he was. I have a large memorabilia collection, and most of the pictures in there are of items that tell the story of Lindbergh, how he became popular, and why he wanted to find seclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes into Highfields, the actual kidnapping, the search for the baby throughout the Saarland Mountains and into Hopewell Township and in that general area. And then after they find the baby in May of 1932, then the search for the kidnappers.
Mm-hmm.
And then picking up Bruno Hauptmann in the Bronx, extraditing him back to New Jersey, the trial.
Yep.
And then there were a series of appeals, and then he was eventually executed. We found great pictures of state prison and pictures from inside the prison, the hearse that carried him out to Long Island. He was cremated out there. They had thousands of German-Americans lined the streets who thought he was innocent the entire time. And, you know, that's pretty much the book. There are no theories in there.
Okay.
Although, over the years, Mark and I have compiled a list of 17 different theories of who kidnapped the Lindbergh baby. And it's interesting, you read some of these books that are out, and you get done reading, say, oh, man, that sounds like it's really what happened. And then you put that down and pick up another one totally opposite of that, and you come away feeling, yeah, that's what happened, too. You know, Bruno Hauptmann sent a letter to Governor Hoffman, the last thing he ever wrote. And the last line of the letter, which is the last page in her book, his letter is the last page in her book. The last line is, I am totally innocent, and because of that, this is a case that will never die and it'll be researched forever. And
I guess that explains it. Why do you think that's true? Do you think that that's the reason that people keep investigating this? Or is it the fact that technology is not as mature as it is today, and the media wasn't as mature as it is today, and so there always is that gate, that hole, that of possible other situations?
Well, I have to tell you, it's when you start looking into this kidnapping, it's a lot like who assassinated JFK. I speak a lot on Lindbergh.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like to draw that parallel, because you can read as many books on the JFK assassination and walk away just as confused as when you started. But I recently gave a talk up in New Providence, and the topic of my talk was 12 theories of who kidnapped the Lindbergh baby.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, they go the whole gamut from...
I don't know if that's a sign.
It's entering the twilight zone. Yeah. They go the whole gamut from Lindbergh did it himself to Bruno Hauptmann acting as the lone kidnapper, which is what the state tried to prove. You know, it's very interesting when you get into the case.
Mm-hmm.
The New Jersey State Police from day one thought it was an inside job It was done by a gang. And that was their theory until they picked up Bruno Hauptmann 3 years later, and they said, you know, we've been made to look like buffoons. We want to end this right now, and we're going to fry this guy and be done with it and put this behind us. They were actually investigating four or five other groups of people that... When you look at the investigative evidence, it seems like any of these people could have been involved. But because Hauptmann had the money in his garage, they said, no, he's not part of a gang, and extradited him, convicted him, and executed him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's tons of evidence. But going back to these other theories, I mean, he was doing it himself. He was part of a gang. There was a lot of thought that members of the Morrow family may have been involved. They investigated Ann Morrow's sister, Elizabeth, because of her jealousy. They investigated the brother who was in a mental institution and escaped a day or so before the kidnapping. And Dwight Morrow actually had an illegitimate son who was cut out of the will.
Mm-hmm.
And he was supposed to have gotten $50,000 in the will, and Mrs. Morrow said, no, you're not getting that. He says, well, I'm going to get my $50,000 one way or another. He was investigating it,
wow.
Really. Actually, and there's another book coming out, which I have to say, I heard the author speak about it not too long ago, and I really like this theory. It's called The Willows, and that refers to a horse farm that used to be over where the Mercer County Mall is now on Route 1. And when Bruno Hauptmann was picked up and extradited, a priest in Michigan contacted the New Jersey State Police, and he says, I know this guy. He says, I used to be a priest in Trenton, and we had a big addition being built on our church, and this architect lived out at this horse farm called the Willows.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go out there all the time, and on numerous occasions I met Bruno Hauptmann and three or four other people, and he named the names, some of whom were being investigated. And one day he went out there, and the plans for the Lindbergh house were open on a table. And Hauptmann says, well, you don't have to worry about this. We're going to take care of Lindbergh. And apparently the architect, whose name was Bruno Wagner, had bid on that Lindbergh house and didn't get the job and was totally out of sorts over it. So they decided to get even. So that's one. That's another book coming out.
Wow. It's just not going to die.
I know.
All right. Well, we're at the half-hour break there, Jim. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more detail,
okay,
and perhaps some more theories. So you're listening to Good Morning Huntington, huntingtonradio.com. We're going to come right back with more of Jim Davison and his new book about the Lindbergh trial right after this.
You're listening.
experience something so unique, and so you're all as one, and it's really, it creates this excitement level that you can't plan.
But there are some where the audience has no clue.
That's right.
Right?
And then you just smile and move on.
Well, most of them haven't read the show, or they haven't been at rehearsals. They don't know what we've planned for them.
So. Right, of course. Cool. It's pretty rare, Ken, that somebody in athletics also has an affinity for theater.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about?